Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and as always, I am joined by Brandy, the blue hair beauty. Herman, how are you today, Brandy?
I'm fine, Tim. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
That's spectacular.
And as always, we're joined, we have the pleasure of being joined today, as always, by the very distinguished and honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm a little worn out today. I just got in on a red eye last night from Iowa.
How was I? You was in Iowa City, right?
I was in Iowa City. It went unbelievably well, Tim.
Was you well received out there?
Well, I'm telling you, and we were talking about this being a grassroots thing.
Yeah, for those of you who missed our last podcast, the Colonel has decided to run for both the denomination for both the Democratic and Republican Party in 2016. So you run for both. So
yes.
It went well.
So I get there, and the crowds, I talked to, first I went to Tony's service station up there.
That's Iowa City? Right outside Iowa.
Right outside.
City.
Talked to three people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Went into the Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to nine people.
In Walmart. And how were you received?
Very well. And then the crowd got up to 20. Now think about this, Timmy. The crowd hit 22 people at Walmart.
Well, you mean the crowd is like, so that's like seven times the number you started
in a day,
It's amazing, Colonel. I think it's really going to start to take off for you now, and I'm sure that once word gets out that you're running, you're going to scare a lot of people away that would have normally thrown their hat in the ring. You know, Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush, they might be rethinking things a little bit right now.
Well, Mitt Romney already quit.
Yeah, well, yeah, he probably had heads up that you were leaning.
I'd given him a call before.
Oh, well, that was very, it was a courtesy, I guess, that you...
We also got, while I was there, nice lady I talked to at the service station.
Mm-hmm.
Got her to sponsor and got a free meal from her.
Oh, so we got a sponsor.
If you're ever outside of Iowa City, you want to go to Karen's Chinese Buffet. $4.99 all you can eat 24/7.
Does that include egg rolls?
Yeah, they don't close on Christmas. They don't close ever. Ever.
Are the attractive Chinese women there? Because I'm kind of fond of attractive Chinese women.
I did not see any. I don't believe there are any Chinese people in Iowa.
See, I'm telling you, I'm going to have to start getting my nails done or something because you see a lot of cute Asian women at those nail places.
Yes.
The colonel doesn't.
That's what you need to do.
The colonel not a what you call that word? The metrosexual. I'm not a metrosexual.
No, Colonel, you're not. You sure are not. Okay, so before we get started, today's topic is H.H. Holmes, of course, the notorious...
Are you just going to skip our shout-outs to our fans?
No, I'll get to it. I'm just going to kind of talk about the topic since, some people listen for the topic. The topic today is the first American serial killer, H.H. Holmes, and we're going to get into that shortly, but we're going to give some really quick shout-outs. And I want to just say thank you to some of the folks who give us some positive comments on our Facebook page. And I'm not going to give last names, so I hope you guys know who you are. But this is, I want to say thank you to Jenny, John W., Deborah, Harold, and Joe. Thank you guys for all your positive comments. Keep them coming. We read all your comments, and we really look forward to it every day, getting the feedback from you guys. So thank you very much. Again, you can find all of our podcasts on iTunes under History Dweebs or on Stitcher and at our website, which is historydweeb.com, or check us out on Facebook. And I think the Colonel has a shout out or two he wants to give.
I do have a shout out. First of all, I want to.
But let me also say I like attractive Latino women too, just in case there's some out there listening.
You like attractive women. You just like attractive young women.
Well, yeah, over 21.
Over 21 and under 25.
I may go up to the 30, 35.
It's skinny. A little disturbing to the
crowd. Dottie, we try so hard with him, Dottie.
But speaking of lovely women under 25, I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Brittany Lynn, who listens to our podcast faithfully.
Yes, Brittany is a very good listener of ours.
And she got to add a bonus of... She likes the Colonel accent. She put it on our page. The Colonel has a delightful accent.
You paid her $5 to put that on there.
Didn't you offer her lunch or something?
No.
Yeah, you paid her $5.
She just put it on there.
You paid her.
That's disturbing. That's disturbing that you say that. The girl did it of her own accord. You sully her reputation.
No, I didn't.
Stop it, devil. We'll
have to investigate that. Do you have other shout-outs there, too?
And I'm going to tell you, Bob, you sent in a very nice email, and the Colonel will be honored with you to sit down and knock back a bottle of Jim Beam with you and discuss with you. And you know what, Bob? We might just sit down, because I'm looking for a running mate. I actually considered the Blue Head Devil because she's the only person I ever met more evil than Dick Cheney.
Well, and she kind of puts her foot in her mouth a lot like Joe Biden. Yeah, uh-huh. She's a perfect mix.
She is a perfect
mix.
And she's scarier than Putin.
Well,
you send her over there.
She's a Putinista.
She's a Putinista, but you send her out to Netanyahu, come over here. You know, with the whole scandal with him coming over, all you got to do is send the Blue Hat Devil over there. She say, "Look, BB, get your ass on the plane, get back home."
Yeah, I think
he's gonna be shaking in his shoes.
Well, it's good strategies to keep you above the fray, so you don't have to get down in the mud.
He is the fray.
You don't have to get down in the mud. You need an attack dog as your VP.
The woman, the Luca Brasi of women. If Luca Brasi was a woman, it would be the Blue Hat Devil.
Yeah. So I wouldn't rule her out just yet. So any other shout-outs before we get on to the podcast?
No, I got mine all done. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Okay, so let's get started and talk about H.H. Holmes. We haven't done a serial killer, it seems like, for hours. So we're back to a serial killer today, but this is it's supposed to be one of the first serial killers in the U.S., although...
Recorded, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, can I correct you?
Yeah.
It was not actually a serial killing. It was a mass killing.
H.H. Holmes? Well, he killed...
Did he kill them all at once?
He didn't kill them all at once.
It was the drug thing in Hollywood?
No.
The drug thing in... Are we talking about John Holmes, the porn guy?
No. H.H. Holmes, not John Holmes. Not the well-endowed porn star.
Please.
Hold on.
So
he was involved in a murder, too.
So you researched John Holmes for this.
He did a lot of research on John Holmes.
This man did 2,500 movies. 2,500
we'll
movies.
Say that, we'll have to save that for a different podcast. Girl.
Okay, so hold
for
on.
The love of heat.
H.H. Holmes.
Yes, this is about H.H. Holmes.
Okay.
And he's one of the first recorded American serial killers. I say one of because we have a podcast coming up soon that one of our listeners had suggested on the Bloody Benders, and I think they may predate. It's a family of serial killers. I think it may predate H.H. Holmes. But today's topic is H.H. Holmes, and he'll be familiar. If he's not familiar with you now, after this podcast, you'll know about him. But they're also making a Hollywood movie about H.H. Holmes. So With Leonardo DiCaprio. How do you say his name?
DiCaprio?
DiCaprio.
Wow.
He's a fine actor.
He is a fine actor.
He could be a listener.
He might be. He just lost.
He was very good in Titanic.
He was excellent in The Departed.
Okay.
He was.
Okay, so today's topic is H.H. Holmes.
Because you love no one.
That's not true. Now, today's topic is H.H. Holmes. And H.H. Holmes was born Herman Webster Mudgett in May 16th, 1861. Here's an interesting fact. Had he been born a week earlier, he would have been born exactly 100 years before me.
That's an amazing fact.
It is. So he was born on May 16th. I'm
glad I was sitting down.
May 16th, 1861. He was born in Glenmatton, New Hampshire, to a farming family. He had two brothers and one older sister. His mother and father, as I said, were farmers. They were devout Methodists. Only thing really unusual in his family, it would appear that his father was an alcoholic and had a violent temper.
Blah, blah, blah. I kind of killed people because my daddy was alcoholic.
No, he never used that as an excuse. He said they actually had a recording of him, one of the early recordings, and he claims that he had the devil in him.
Well, did you see the guy bought a bunch of wax recordings, and then he got one of them was a recording H.H. Holmes.
Yeah, it was weird. So we'll talk about that later. But anyway, when he was young, the only thing that unusual to happen to him was some bullies. There was a doctor in town. You know how the doctors and old doctors' offices, they used to have the skeleton hanging on? You know, like in paintings of,
In med school, there's a skeleton that hangs there.
Yeah, the skeleton hangs there. Well, he was scared of it, and some bullies in his neighborhood forced him into the doctor's office and made him touch the skeleton. And he, instead of being freaked out over it, he became sort of obsessed with it and obsessed with the whole idea of dying and of death. So he grew up there in New Hampshire, and on July 4th, 1878, which is the Independence Day.
Obviously.
He married, Mudgett married Clara Lovering, and from what I read, it was really, she was of a higher social class than him, and he married her for money, because he did not come from money. His parents did not have a lot of money. But he married her, and it got him a ticket into med school in 1882 at the University of Michigan. So he enters med school.
Go Big Blue.
Go Big Blue. He entered med school, and the way they did the courses there, they would talk about a particular body, a region of the body, or body parts, or whatever, of organs, and then during class, and then they would go study those parts on the cadaver. Well, he became kind of obsessed with cadavers. He started working with them every day.
Does he just touch things and become obsessed with them? Because that
apparently.
I mean, that seems to be an issue for him.
Yeah. He wasn't very normal, but he learned that. But he had an eye for business, because he learned that the janitor was making some money buying and selling these cadavers, and apparently they were kind of hard to get for medical research, and there was some money to be made there. And a lot of times the schools didn't ask a lot of questions. As long as they had a cadaver, they would, you know, they could make some decent bucks. So that kind of got him thinking, hey, there's some way I can angle this for some money. So he started stealing cadavers and disfiguring them. And then what he would do was take out insurance on the cadaver. And then he would disfigure them and then collect insurance money. So this is why he was married to his first wife. Well, he was always married to his first wife. The guy got married more times than Larry King.
Why you gotta sully Larry King? What is it with you people today?
Larry King's been married several times.
You got here late.
Yeah. So
it's been a long
time. So he was still married to Clara, and he went off and he married another woman. While still married to Clara, he married Myrtle Belknap. Now, you know, so the name Myrtle.
It's Myrta.
He was a Mormon.
Well, it looks like Myrtle to me, and I don't like the name Myrtle.
Well, you need to fix your glasses. It's Myrta.
Was he a Mormon? Was he a...
Hey!
He was the murdering Mormon.
No, he wasn't. He was a Methodist. So anyway...
They can't marry two people.
Well, he did. He married Myrta. Is that her name?
Myrta.
Myrta Belknap, or Belknap, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he had a daughter with her. He had a son with his first wife, who ended up growing up to becoming the city manager in Orlando, Florida, his son. But he had a daughter with Myrtle. And
Myrta.
And she ended up... There was a Myrtle who used to live next door to me when I was a kid. Anyway... They had a daughter, and she grew up to be a school teacher. Not that that's important to the story. I just like these interesting little tidbits.
When I do that, the devil tells me, get on point. What are you talking about?
This is one of...
How come you get to ramble?
It's part of my charm. So... So he runs out of bodies, and so he needs some cash. So he decides he's going to fake his own death. And Myrta... is in on him with this. So he keeps going down to the morgue trying to find a body that looks like his own. He'd show up every day, but he couldn't find a body that looked like his own. So he had an old classmate visit him, and a classmate sort of resembled him. So he took out an insurance policy on himself. Classmate visits him. He poisons him with litna, I believe is the name. It was basically opiates. He ODs, classmate ODs on opiates. He disfigures him, and then puts his own clothes on his classmates, puts his ID on his classmates. They find him. The wife collects the insurance. Wife number two collects the insurance. Now, he still hasn't divorced wife number one, but collects the insurance, and he gets $20,000. And he will use this to build his famous Castle Hotel in Chicago, which Brandy will talk about shortly. But just like he was a serial killer, he was also a serial husband, because guess what? He gets married again in 1894 to Georgiana Yoke. Was her young lady's name?
Which answers a lot of questions, actually.
So he was married three times, never divorced. So he was, he was quite the ladies' man.
And I want you to consider something just for a minute. He grows up with an alcoholic, violent father. So
well, I know his father. I don't know his mom.
Okay, his mom was violent and alcoholic.
No, his father was violent and an alcoholic.
That's what I just said the first time, and you said, "Oh, no father. He didn't have no father."
No, I thought you said his mother. I thought you said his mother or father would.
No, so he grows up with this violent alcoholic.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's already a little damaged. A little damaged, right?
Well, I guess. Now, but I mean, that doesn't.
Carrying a little bit of anger with him. Now the fool take on three wives. Okay. Now one wife. Make me pick up a hatchet.
You
a lot
better
of
be careful. Your, no, wife, I'm just saying, your wife listens to our podcast.
She knows it to be true. Now, I could imagine having, and while she's a beautiful woman and a lovely lady,
your wife
I
is
could
very
imagine
nice.
Having three of her talking to me at the same time.
Well, they don't I'd all be live in the house like sister right wives. They don't all live in the house as sister wives.
But still, they got the telegram. They can nag you from the telegram, telephone.
Well, I mean, this was a time. Look, this was a time when you could just move from town to town and start over, which is basically what he did.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he did.
So he was upgrading then.
Yeah.
Okay, then I understand.
So then, but he, now with $20,000 in his pocket, he moves to Chicago to take advantage of the World Fair, which is about ready to start in Chicago, and Brandy's going to tell us about that.
Yes. He arrived in Chicago in August of 1886 and came across a drugstore that sat at the corner of South Wallace and West 63rd Street in the Inglewood neighborhood. And the lady that owned it, her name was Dr. Elizabeth Holton, she gave Holmes a job.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, that's her bad. And he proved him. He was a hardworking employee. He was always, always did his job. Came in when he was supposed to. And eventually, he worked there for a while. And eventually, her husband died. Holton's husband died. Now you'd think he'd marry her, but he did not. Holton's husband dies, and Holmes offers to buy the drugstore from her. And she agrees, and he bought the store mainly with funds obtained by mortgaging. He took the store's fixtures and all the stock and mortgaged it.
Yeah, it was a Ponzi scheme. And didn't he play a role in the husband's death? Are you getting to that? I've seen some reports where he was slowly poisoning.
Probably.
Yeah.
So he was the first Bernie Madoff, too.
He had a lot going on there.
Yeah.
So he purchased the store with all these funds that he got from the fixtures and the stock, and the loan needed to be repaid in the substantial monthly installment of $100 a month.
Man, that's almost how much I pay for rent.
It's about $2,625 in today's money. So he purchased that lot, and he purchased a lot across from the drugstore, where he built a three-story block-long castle, as it was dubbed by those in the neighborhood. And it was called the World's Fair Hotel.
And this was in Elmwood?
It's in Inglewood.
Inglewood.
Yeah, in Chicago.
Okay.
And he opened it as a hostel for the World's Columbian Exposition.
It's a World's Fair, basically.
In 1893. And part of the structure was devoted to commercial space. And the ground floor of the castle contained Holmes' own relocated drugstore and some shops, and the upper two floors contained his personal space. So it had his office, and it also had a maze of over 100 windowless rooms and doorways that opened to nowhere, and weird hallways and stairways that went into the ceiling. It was just this really weird, nightmarish fun house kind of thing that he had going.
Didn't he have, and you make, I'm sorry if I'm jumping into this, but didn't he have like hire different contractors to do different parts?
Yes, he changed them a lot during the construction, so he felt like he was the only one who really fully understood the design of the house. So during the construction in 1889, Holmes met a guy named Benjamin Peitzel. He was a carpenter, and he was a bit of a lawbreaker.
He went by Benny.
He was shady.
They called him Benny Pretzel.
But I saw his name. That's what
Benny
I thought.
Pretzel.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, Holmes exploited him as his stooge.
He was his minion.
Well, no, he was the guy. He was the stooge. He was, you know, he was the one who took all the blame for everything. He was actually called at one point Holmes's creature. And after the completion of the hotel, Holmes just started picking off female victims from amongst his employees. They were required as a condition of employment to take out life insurance policies.
Nice.
Yeah, and Holmes would pay the premiums, but he was also the beneficiary.
We should do that here. We really should.
Do either of you got any insurance on the Colonel?
I can neither confirm nor deny my carrying of any sort of policy on the two of you.
Drive carefully.
Yes. Sleep peacefully. So, but anyway, he would take victims, female victims, from his from amongst his employees. He would, lovers, hotel guests. He would just take these women. Some were locked in soundproof bedrooms that were fitted with gas lines that would lead him to asphyxiate them at any time.
This is creepy. I mean, going to stay in this hotel.
It's like Saul.
Yeah, and you stay in this hotel and you're going to get asphyxiated or you're going
to
get poisoned. This
was going to the Super 8. You ever stayed in the Super 8?
Wow.
La Quinta, man.
Hey.
La Quintas are fine.
Yeah, they might be
motels.
A sponsor one day.
Yeah.
Other victims were locked in huge soundproof bank vaults near his office, and they were left to suffocate. Victims' bodies were then dropped down a secret chute into the basement, where some were dissected. They were stripped of flesh. They were crafted into crafted into skeleton models. And then they were sold to medical schools.
So this guy was cool. I mean,
he was what?
He was cool. He was not only a serial killer, but, and not only protected insurance on these people, that wasn't enough. He had to sell their cadavers to medical school.
But, you know, when the Indians killed the buffalo, they used every part of the buffalo.
Well, he had an eye for business.
He did have an eye for business. So he had two huge furnaces as well as pits of acid that were built into his basement. Bottles of various poisons, and even had a stretching rack.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah. You know, in fairness, the man was only like 5'6".
Well, he wanted to be a little bit taller. Yeah. He used the connections that he gained in medical school, and he sold skeletons and organs just left and right with very, very little difficulty or interference from any sort of law enforcement.
Well, at least he was putting his medical training to good use.
He did this for a long time. Like,
how many people did he kill?
It is said that he killed. There's 9 confirmed deaths. He confessed to 27, and they're estimating that the actual number's up around 200.
So he's doing this for a long time. His whole creepy mansion, this creepy hotel, World's Fair, middle of Chicago. And so then what happens?
It's really like the Saw House. The colonel here has...
He was basically his own Spanish flu. That's what he was.
He
was a long...
He's his own plague.
He was thinning out the herd by himself.
He is. But no, the colonel has all the information on his capture and arrest.
Well, we'll be interested to hear that, Colonel.
Share with us, Colonel.
Not John Holmes now.
Not H.A.
Well, the capture and arrest are kind of weird because he's a strange man. Now, the world's...
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Fair's over. Okay, the creditors are closing in on him. The economy's going to hell in Chicago. So
it's kind of like Sophie from Russia after the Olympics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sophie's choice.
Now, by a stroke of luck, he inherited property from a couple of railroad heiress sisters. One he had promised to marry, and both.
Because what's he got to lose?
And well, he's available, apparently.
Sure.
And both he had murdered.
There you go.
So he ends up in Fort Worth, Texas, where he decides to build another castle. But he abandoned that plan. So he's jumping around with Johnny Pretzel through the United States. And
yeah, he's wanted at this point, right? Or is he?
No, he's not wanted yet.
Okay.
He's not wanted yet. But now this is where he becomes in the colonel's eyes, because there's a lot of things a man can do.
Mm-hmm.
But his first arrest is for the most dastardly deed you could commit.
Was jaywalking? Rape or murder? Or?
No.
What?
He was a horse swindler.
Oh, I know you don't like horse swindlers.
Oh, no, you do not. He was a horse swindler.
Because I always hear you talking about going to talk to a man about a horse.
Talk to a man about a horse. And I never swindled a man. But he was a horse swindler. I mean,
who does that, really?
Well, this was 18,
you
got 80 or 1 hour.
You're right. Where they usually just take you out and string you up.
Right. They hang you over horse wrestling.
So now here. Horse wrestling, you usually take ass kicking, but
you really do. Yeah. Those horses like bear can wrestling. Be juky.
Yeah. No, if you get the right. Never. Go.
Midget wrestling, you okay?
We horse have small people who listen to our podcast. How many times have I asked you not to use the word midget? You use the word midget on Colonel or Commodore Nut.
He was a midget.
All right, go ahead.
So now he gets thrown in jail in Boston. This is really his downfall. This is his downfall because Holmes was a jailhouse talker. He was a braggart. You know, he couldn't keep his mouth closed. And he comes up with this plan that he's going to fake his own death. And he meets this guy, Marion Hedgeworth.
Yeah.
So you should definitely tell everybody about it.
Now, Hedgeworth is doing about 25 years in prison. But he becomes friends. I guess they were cellmates. I don't know if there was any, you know.
All right, go on.
But really, anyway.
You're looking for Hanky Panky, aren't you?
Well, I've still got John Holmes in my mind, but.
that's your
But
fault.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
This Hedgeworth sends him to this attorney. You know, they're going to fake his own death. Somehow Hedgeworth is going to get, like, money out of this. He's in jail for 25 years. I don't know what. You know,
maybe he was going to put it on his.
He was going to put it in his commissary.
Yeah, so he could get.
But the plan falls through because he does kill somebody, mm-hmm. but the insurance company don't pay up. They just became suspicious and said we ain't paying. And Holmes said, I'm not going to press this one. So he comes up with another idea with Johnny Pretzel.
And Johnny Pitzel, isn't it?
It's actually Benjamin Peitzel, but from here on out, he will be known as Johnny Pretzel.
Fair enough.
So Holmes says, because this scam has worked for him in the past, let's go back to the faking the death.
Right.
But the problem with the faking the death is...
That's when he changed his name to H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
When you go into business with H.H. Holmes, with H.H. Holmes.
Or Mr. Mudgett.
And he says, hey, I got a plan. Let's fake your death.
Yeah.
Chances are.
It's not fake.
When H.H. Holmes take an insurance policy out on you, it's not good for you. It's worse than having a voodoo spell put on you.
You cannot be worth more money dead than you are alive around H.H. Holmes.
You know what it's like? It's like if the devil had a little tiny doll of you. Put the pin right through your heart.
She is she's a practicing voodoo goddess.
She's a voodoo queen.
Priestess.
Yeah, priestess.
Not a high priestess, just a regular priestess, but I'm still a priestess.
I wish I was a high priestess. Yeah.
She high half the time, I think. But so Johnny Pretzel here, the dumbass, he decides, what could go wrong with H.H. Holmes having an insurance policy on me?
He's got my best interest at heart.
Yeah. So,
there's a guy I can trust.
So he kills Johnny Pretzel.
Damn it.
Get out.
He killed him, yeah.
Shut your ass, he did not.
He did. And then he got the insurance money after he's showing up to genuine Pretzel. This was one of the first times he showed up an actual true genuine corpse of somebody. So then he starts sweet-talking Johnny Pretzel's wife. You know, she unsuspecting. And he gets he gets custody. This Holmes guy gets custody of three of Johnny Pretzel's kids.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You may want to take another look at it at that adoption study.
Yeah. He killed him.
For what? For what?
He killed him. Now, by this time... We're still on the horse trading thing, and there's a Philadelphia detective. His name Frank Guy. He's suspicious. He's suspicious of all the things that have been going on because this guy's been, you know, somehow Frank Guy crossed paths with Holmes, and he knows something shady about this whole thing.
I don't know why he would think so.
Yeah. So follows Holmes.
You could get by with a lot of stuff before computers and databases.
I know, I hate that shit.
So he follows Holmes to Indianapolis.
Indiana.
Home of the Hoosiers.
Home of the Hoosiers.
Indiana, not Indianapolis. I guess the Pacers.
And so he goes to, he finds out that he follows Holmes to a drugstore where Holmes buys some poison to kill Johnny Pretzel's brother, Howard Pretzel.
He's going to wipe out the whole family.
Yeah.
Why do you keep calling him Pretzel?
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's so disturbing to me.
Well,
Manny now. Pitzel.
It's Pitzel, yeah. But anyway, see, remember the original plan with the Marion Hedgeworth in the jail where he's talking and talking and talking?
I don't even remember what we're talking about, but okay.
Where he set up the plan to fake his own death and collect on insurance, and insurance company won't pay back. And
you're right.
He promises this guy $10,000 and whatnot.
He stiffed him.
And Marion may have stiffed him while he was in jail. I don't know. I'm not making any...
no assumptions. We're not saying that that's what happened.
I'm not saying that that's happening.
We can't confirm or deny that there was some stiffing going on.
Right. But what you don't want to do is have a guy that's in jail for 25 years with a grudge. And they got the dirt on you. You know, because they got nothing to do but sit around and think up how I'm going to get even with that sumbitch.
Yeah.
So, when the $10,000 doesn't show up on his commissary account, this Marion Hedgeworth, he walked into the commissary one day.
Put $10,000 on a commissary account? That just seemed to me would be a red flag.
It's a lot of cigarettes.
It seemed to be a red flag, but at that time you could smoke in the prisons before they took away your rights.
Before the man came and took away your rights.
Big brother step in, but whatever. Getting off track here. So Marion Hedgeworth, he go down, he tell him, I want myself a Milky Way and a Coca-Cola. And they tell him, Marion, you ain't got no money on your commissary account. He's like, no, I want to give me some Air Jordans, too.
Air Jordans?
Yeah. And he's like, you can't do that. You got no money. He's like, I got $10,000 in my commissary account. He's like, no, nobody put no money in. He walks back to his cell. He just mad in hell. You know, the first call, he goes to his cell, gets on his internet, and sends an email
not
off.
Not the internet.
Yeah, sends an email off to the police.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Saying,
The internet.
Wouldn't the police be at the prison? I mean, wouldn't there be some sort of law official there?
Like a prison guard?
Well, he wanted to talk to a particular person.
Okay.
So,
so he's going to turn state's evidence now.
He's a rat. Yeah. He's a dirty rat.
Yeah, he got screwed.
He's a dirty rat. You don't rat. Everybody knows that.
So now the whole thing coming apart. So now he's being held on this. Now they grab him. Now they grab him and.
So this guy.
They grab him in Texas, actually.
Rats on him. Okay.
See, I don't like being grabbed.
And basically, at this time, the gig is up because now they got some suspicion. And he had a caretaker there named Pat Quinlan. And.
Oh, what did Pat do?
Well, you know, Quinlan, what's that say to you?
Doesn't say anything to
him. He's an Irish guy.
Oh.
Says nothing but
he's
good.
He's an Irish guy. Nothing and but bad. You know what?
Wasn't that the medicine woman's last name? Wasn't her name Quinn?
That was Dr. Quinn, yes.
Yeah, Quinn.
And Quinlan's like, yeah, okay. And, you know, he was the custodian, and usually you hire kind of slow-witted people to be the custodian if you have a murder
castle.
You're
going to offend all those custodians out there.
I'm saying if you have a murder
castle. If you're making a murder castle, then you want to hire somebody who's not real bright so that they don't ask questions. Every evil genius knows that.
So then this Pat Quinlan says, well, you know, I like the job. But he never let me clean the upper floors. I don't know what the deal is with that. You know, because now the police are all over. They're asking everybody questions. And
the gig is up.
The gig is up. And then once they start looking into this murder castle, it's just...
All over but the shouting.
Yeah, I mean, there's more bones there than at a Halloween party. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
I don't even know if that made sense.
Yeah, but that's all right.
He did have like Timmy, he had an affinity for a certain type of woman.
What kind of woman did he like?
He liked blonde-haired women.
I like blonde-haired women.
Although he did not mind killing women and children.
He's indiscriminate.
So now he's in Philadelphia because he's in jail. They caught him, and they're going to... he confessed to the insurance scam. And while all this is going on, the police start to unravel the Johnny Pretzel thing. Especially, now this is what they don't like, the fate of the three children. And this Frank guy, he like...
Well, there was no reason for that.
Well, you don't know. Maybe there was. I mean, maybe there was the cranky kids. Maybe they just...
I don't care if they... Of course they were cranky kids.
Well, anyway, I'm just saying, this Frank guy, he's just relentless. So he's on this quest to find these three kids.
On a quest to see a moose.
So he goes back to the Holmes Castle in Chicago, which, you know, received a lot of publicity. He finds their remains, and that's just it for Holmes. He's just done. So now, Holmes, the first trial he gets put on for is for the murder of Johnny Pretzel. And he's found guilty and sentenced to death. So by this time, it's pretty clear that he murdered the Pretzel children. He murdered the mini Pretzels.
All the baby Pretzels?
Yeah, all the baby Pretzels. And then he confesses the 30 murders in Chicago, Indianapolis, and Toronto. Now, he confessed to murdering more. Some of them were still living. Now, six times he tried to kill people and failed. I guess that's when he was young and practicing or something. By insurance companies, no, by the Hearst newspaper. Hold on. Okay, so you got the Hearst newspaper. They want to tell this story. They want his confession. So they give him $7,500. Now, Holm already know he won. His chicken cooked.
Right.
Now, that'd be worth about $200,000 in today's money. But
yeah, Hearst was, they were famous for doing a lot of what they call yellow journalism.
Yeah.
Sensationalism.
Didn't they call it jizz journalism?
Or something? They did, jazz journalism.
Jazz journalism. Yeah. I'm sorry, my bad. I still got John Holmes on here. Jazz journalism.
What?
Jizz journalism.
All right, continue. It's like,
that's what's in Playboy.
Devil.
You said it.
I made a, no, mine was a slip of the tongue.
No, it was not.
So anyway...
Of
Holmes, he gives the confession, but he's got all kinds of contradictions, and you know his faculty for lying. You just can't believe it. I mean, a guy's a horse swindler. You can't believe a word.
You cannot believe horse swindlers.
He might have killed the children. He might have done whatever. But a horse swindler.
Once a horse swindler, always a horse swindler.
Oh, it's the lowest form of human life you could ever run across.
You know, it's horse, not whore.
Oh.
Yeah. Horse.
Yeah.
Oh, then that's
you will be the horse swindler here.
Yeah.
Number one cheap Charlie.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
So, anyway, by this time, everybody tired of him. And
just let me say, she doesn't have to be Latina or Asian, really, as long as she's a
what the hell?
Yeah, okay. So you're just throwing out there pretty much any woman of any color.
Of any color, as long as she's like between 25 and 35 and attractive, email me.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, now Holmes is telling people he was possessed by Satan, which is, he was just a mean guy. Now me and you, Timmy, you ever met somebody possessed by Satan?
It's hurtful. The blue-haired devil.
Now, I gotta say, she's been on good behavior the last couple days, and that scares me.
It's drugs.
No, it scares me, Timmy, because I just don't like it. I like when I know where a blue-haired devil stands on something. She's been too nice. So anyway, they're gonna hang him for killing, of all people, Johnny Pretzel. He wasn't even scared when he walked up there. He asked that his coffin be contained in cement and buried 10 feet deep because he didn't want some grave robbers to come in and steal his body.
Don't want to take his cadaver. Yeah,
that's exactly right. He
for free.
Yeah, he knew there was there was a whole cadaver snatching ring that got broke up, but anyway. Now, here's the good part of the best part of this, because this is what every horse swindler deserves. Every horse swindler. When they hung him and the little platform dropped and he fell with that rope around his neck, it didn't snap his neck. He dangled there.
Like 15 minutes or something.
He strangled and twitched and peed on himself for 15 minutes. That.
Yeah, 15 minutes. I know 15 minutes he was strangled.
Yeah, now some of these people didn't. Now, Mr. Marion Hedgepath, he was pardoned. He was pardoned. He didn't have no money in his commissary, but they pardoned him.
He met an untimely fate as well, didn't he?
Well, there was a guy named Edward Jabba the Hutt. He was a police officer.
Edward Jabba the Hutt?
Yeah, there was a police officer, Edward Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's actually Edward Jabberick, but it's hard to say, so I call him Edward Jabba the Hutt. He's a policeman. He's just walking along, minding his own business. He stops in Chicago, you know. He stops in, get a beer, whatever, on duty. He shouldn't have been doing that. And there, Marion Hedgeworth trying to hold up the saloon.
The guy just got out of a 28-year sentence.
Yeah. So
obviously rehabilitation was not working for him.
He's like the guy from Shawshank. He didn't when he used to be an out. He needed to go back.
He went into the bar and said, "Give me a double shot." Mm. Jabba the Hutt gave him a double shot, right, one in the neck and one in the temple.
Yep. No, there was no trial this time.
Yeah. Now this Quinlan, he met an untimely death too, because there was a lot of things that couldn't be explained there. That kind of lingered over, kind of hung over the head of this Quinlan guy. So he decided he gonna drink a bunch of strychnine, killed himself. Now
that'll do it.
Now his relatives say he'd been haunted by all this stuff that happened, but I think Quinlan probably had something to do with it. Myself personally, he's Irish. There was money involved. Those Irish people do anything for money.
So how many folks total did he kill?
What did I say?
437.
He did not.
437.
He did not. He killed. He was convicted of what? Nine.
He was nine. Were confirmed. 27. He confessed to, but it's estimated he killed over 200.
Yeah.
Now in 1895, it burned down. It was bad fire, the hotel.
I wonder what's up there now. Have you been up there?
It is a public, it is a post office.
You know, it's going
to... There's a post office. They raised it and put a post office
there. It's going to get a lot of publicity because, like I said...
There probably been more people killed in that post office than there have been killed people going postal. Going crazy.
Probably so.
More people killed in the post office than...
The movie coming out this summer, I'm sure that they'll attract a lot of people there.
Yeah, and there is a documentary film out on him, and there's also a very good book. I read the book. It's Murder in White City. It's a very long book, so our listeners
who have it. So they were like factual and all that.
It's long-winded.
Yeah.
They had citations and everything.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, this some bitch is like 200 pages.
And no pictures.
Let me ask you this, Colonel. It wasn't a recording. We mentioned this earlier. Wasn't there a recording of H.H. Holmes' voice recently found?
Yeah, there was a guy who's just a collector of wax recordings. Back in old days, they would record on, they called them wax, but they would.
I'm a big fan of wax lips.
They look like player piano rolls.
Okay.
And that's what you would record your, doctors would do a lot. Doctors would use these a lot to record notes, record whatnot. Now, I don't really get it because it ain't searchable or nothing. You'd have to listen to the whole damn
thing. It's like an original podcast back in the day.
Yeah, but you can't fast forward or rewind or nothing. Okay. But anyway, they called them wax recordings. It was cylinders, and this guy collected them. He just thought they were cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he got one, and it had H.H. Holmes talking, confessing, and he basically said he was the devil. He was possessed by the devil. He had the devil in him.
Had the devil in him.
Did you ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I have danced with the devil on a I married the devil. I mean, I danced with it at our wedding. The first dance.
Renee is a lovely lady, and we want to say congratulations to Renee on her accomplishment. You want to say anything about that?
Her accomplishment. I will say this about Renee's accomplishment, and you mean marrying me? Give me marriage.
I was thinking about
that. Was her act of charity?
Her recent or her soon to be degree.
Actually, the missus is going to be finishing up. She will graduate May 15th with 2 degrees. She had 2 degrees in 3 years. I got to say the family very, very proud of her. I call her the devil, but she's a very hard-working woman. She's a very...
She's a very lovely lady. She's
a smart woman.
And I don't know...
She's a smart woman. The only time she's not smart is when she don't listen to what I tell her to do. Sometimes... And she's a hard-headed woman.
She kind of married beneath herself.
She really did marry far below her station.
Well, she
again, her charity.
See,
work,
here's the problem.
Her charity work knows no bounds.
And this is a this is not a colonel, an experienced man. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a worldly man, and I knows about relationships.
Do not.
Yeah.
Do not.
And here's some advice to you women. Okay. Now I marry
listen,
somebody.
Randy, listen up.
I marry. Men, we take a woman. We look at a woman and we just take them at face value.
Oh my God!
This is what.
Shut.
This is
up.
What we're gonna get. Okay, yeah. In 10 years, she might look a little bit different. Stuff might sag a little bit. She might be a little bit bigger. We don't care about none of that.
Right, because we
take them at face
shallow.
Value.
We're not shallow.
Right, but women look at men like they look at houses.
Oh, well, they look at houses like we're meat or something.
No, they look at us like a project. Like they could fix it. This is a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
You know, I could fix this one. It's got character. It's got potential. It's got this. It's got that.
Well, you fooled her.
Otherwise, we'd all be alone.
Well, and I believe the missus looked at me like, oh, he got character. He got potential. He got this. He got that. She didn't. I don't let people fix me up.
The missus got you after you were foreclosed on by the bank.
Well, that could have been true.
So, but we are very proud of Renee. And Renee, we don't know how you put up with the Colonel, but we're glad that you do. Final thoughts. Brandy, any final thoughts on serial killer H.H. Holmes?
Sick puppy. Sick, sick puppy.
Yeah. I would love to see that house. It looks so creepy. The descriptions of it. Colonel, any final thoughts on Mr. H.H. Holmes? Not John Holmes. Or John Holmes, whatever.
No thoughts on John Holmes.
Now, one of them had a 10-inch pecker.
Was that H.H. Holmes?
And which brings me back to something important that I brought up. And the blue-haired devil helped me out on this.
Okay.
I'm sorry I screwed you on this, devil, but, you know, you had it coming. I put in my official patent today. Well, actually, it goes in today, the lawyer should get it in today, for the tallywhacker tracker.
Tallywhacker
tracker. You can screw me on that.
Yeah.
So now what does a tallywhacker tracker do?
It's a tiny microchip you put in your penis.
Okay.
It's like you chipped your dog.
Yeah, like you chip your dog. And if somebody steals your penis, you know that from my other podcast.
Yeah,
you can track it.
Okay.
You can track it on your phone.
You can track it. And I was talking about a GPS.
There's an app where you can track your penis.
You can track it by phone.
Nice.
And for the women out there, it don't have to be cut off. You can track that penis wherever it go.
So your wife could keep track of you.
Exactly. Ooh, hold on for a minute. But anyway,
I want to rethink
but anyway, the devil, pattern. The devil. This is what this is where I get the big enjoyment.
Yeah,
the devil says, "Oh, you should call it the Tallywhacker Tracker." And I was like, "That's a stupid name. That's a stupid
name."
But
you wrote it down.
And I run into my office and I call my lawyer and I was like, "Call it the Tallywhacker Tracker. That's a good name for it."
Because he often calls his lawyer.
I know.
I call my lawyer a lot. Yeah,
I know.
I got my lawyer on speed dial. My lawyer, Sal.
Okay, this wraps up another exciting episode of History Dweebs. Reminder, folks, please check us out on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Facebook. Get on our Facebook page. We love your comments. HistoryDweeb.com, and we'll be releasing another podcast really soon. Thank you
so
much.
And I will be in New Hampshire next week.
Colonel will be in New Hampshire next week campaigning, so get out and support the Colonel as he tries to take back the country. All right, everyone, we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.